Yep, it's just about that time once again. Wednesday, 5 p.m., time for American Net Radio on WHPC, WHPC HD 90.3. My name is Tom Ryan. I'm your host. Been here for about a quarter of a century or so now, doing this for quite a while. Not giving my age up, but there it is. My lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales. Well, she's only been here for a couple of weeks, so... and we've been doing this every Wednesdays and Fridays at 5 p.m. And on Wednesdays, we've been looking at albums. We've been playing a chronological list that started with albums from the year 1955, working our way up toward the present, playing what I'm considering to be my my favorites or my picks as the most important or interesting albums of the album era. And when I'm calling it the album era, because that's exactly what inspired me to want to do this, because the album era seems as if it expired a few years back. And that kind of horrified me, because if you grew up in, as I did, as a child of the 60s and the 70s, the albums were incredibly important to our idea of music, to the idea of what music history was. It's really how we learned everything, how we became fans of bands, how we got our ideas for different styles of music. And to see that all go away to digital music and to companies that more or less now give you playlists and stuff, it seemed just horrifying. It's too simple and digital, and I don't like it. I've really have not given in to most of that stuff. I've got some subscriptions, but I really don't. It's a waste of money for me. I just don't use it. I tend to take most of my songs like I do in this radio show. I just put my own stuff together and I make my own lists, and then I try to share them with people like you, which is what we're doing today. There's two lists. There's one list, which is the top 500 of the top 40, which is obviously albums that made the top 40. That's half of it. And the other half is albums that never made the top 40. Putting them together, we got 1,000 albums. That gives us 1,000 weeks of shows to cover. And we're just about midway in that list. In the top 500 list, we're beyond the midpoint. We're up to number 263, and that's what we're going to cover today. An album that was released in February of 1976, and it peaked at number 20. It's by the band Lynyrd Skynyrd. It's called Gimme Back My Bullets. Okay, so I've already covered Lynyrd Skynyrd twice on this list. I covered their first album, the debut album, and I covered their second album, which is called Second Helping. I skipped the third album, Nothing Fancy, but here they are back with their fourth album, Gimme Back My Bullets. And I think a lot of people might end up disagreeing with me for including this. And yes, I am very much aware that Gimme Back My Bullets is hardly recognized by most Southern rock fans or Southern rockers as a classic album. But Lynyrd Skynyrd aficionados, and I would deem myself to be one of them, like me, know better. Granted, Second Helping, the band's second album, earns the title for the best Lynyrd Skynyrd album. And their debut album contains indisputable classic tracks like Freebird, Tuesday's Gone, and Gimme Three Steps. Classic to the point where it's almost like you can't really even hear them anymore because you hear them so much. But this album is different. And it sits comfortably with those two albums, and in some ways it even surpasses them in my mind. A lot of that has to do with the fact that these songs haven't been ruined by getting too much airplay. It isn't an album full of relentless hits, and they make a point of that on some of the songs, or even anthemic guitar mastery, as they've been like Freebird. But it does contain a series of consistently strong songs that never once misses a beat. Ronnie Van Zant's lyrics, the lead singer and the lyricist, are sharper than ever, and his bandmates, Alan Collins and Gary Rossington, provide material that never lets up. Those two guys, the two guitar players that are still in the band, do pretty much they do all the songwriting on the album except for one song. There isn't really a single dud in the batch, and every song rings true with an honest expression that eclipses the occasional posturing of their earlier releases. On Give Me Back My Bullets, you can feel that the band's intentions here are true. If any album exists that retains the legendary spirit of Lynyrd Skynyrd, as they were, as a band, their honest convictions, the one that allows them to sound the way that they want it to sound without record label intervention, this is it. So, let's get to it. The album is called Give Me Back My Bullets, and the opening track is called Give Me Back My Bullets. What does that mean, you might ask? Well, it's a metaphor. It's a kind of a cool thing. Now, if you look at the way that Skynyrd's success had opened up for them, their first album, they came out of nowhere, really, and ended up with this huge FM hit with Freebird that was just like a monster 9-minute song that like was almost as big as a Led Zeppelin hit. And with that was the song Tuesday's Gone, which got a ton of airplay. And I mentioned Give Me Three Steps. So they were off to a huge start with that album. And with their second album, they had an accidental hit, really, with Sweet Home Alabama. They had the album done and ready to go, and their record label said, you know, you really don't have anything that's commercial enough on this. You need another song. They went back into the studio, and they wrote that song, really, in like a matter of an hour or two. They threw it together. And to this day, we still hear it on the radio daily. So that gave them like almost like a sense of being like, oh, we're rock stars now. You know, we're huge. But things changed really quick on that third album. Nothing Fancy had nothing that resembled a hit. And although it was a decent record, it wasn't a great record. And even I was thinking that as a fan of Lynyrd Skynyrd. I'm like, this album, it's good, but it's not as good. So I felt that they were slipping. Well, they were blaming it on the record company. So when this album came out, Give Me Back My Bullets is them saying to the record company, like, hey, man, we want our bullets back. Like you know, like when you get a bullet on the Billboard charts, it means that your songs are going to the top of the charts. It's like saying to the record company, like, you know, you're not supporting us. We don't get any bullets on the charts anymore. It's your fault for that, you know, that's not happening. So, you know, you listen to the lyrics, it's like, you know, tell all you pencil pushers that you better get out of my way. It's like, you know, we're sick of listening to what the man has to say. We just want you to get us on the charts. That's all that they really cared about. And that's sort of, I mean, it's a real honest thing to say. I mean, this is the best thing about this record, I think, about Ronnie Van Zant and the way that he sings, is I don't think I've ever heard him be more honest. He's telling the truth about who he is, what he thinks, what he feels, what's in his heart, and he's not holding back. So let's open this up. I think this album's more or less like it's a good party album, and it's a good honest party album. So here's the title track from Give Me Back My Bullets to open up the album.
The pressure's been on me. Well, I keep on working.
It was a cool message. Unfortunately, the album did not yield any hit singles, despite what they were trying to go for there. The music on that one was written by Gary Rossington. I don't know if you can picture the band, what they looked like then. Gary Rossington was the guy with the impossibly long black hair. It went below his belt line. He was that guitar player. The other guy who was writing a lot of the music was Alan Collins. He was the guy with the almost as long, like wavy blonde hair, blonde, or at least light-colored hair. An impossibly skinny guy. He must have been about 120 pounds, maybe, Alan Collins. And in fact, it was Alan Collins who wrote the music for this next song called Every Mother's Son. And when I was talking about the honesty that you're going to get from Ronnie Van Zant, coming off of that song, that's exactly what this next song is about. It's called Every Mother's Son, and it's basically a song about don't get your hopes up too high, don't get up on your high haunches, because life can turn around and hit you pretty hard. You know, there's ups and there's downs, and maybe you'd be a lot better off to be humble than to be a little bit too proud. And it's a great message, especially at this point in time in the where we're at in the world. It's called Every Mother's Son. really miss this band. It was such a sad day when that plane went down. I mean, it obviously, it took out two of the band members, including, unfortunately, Ronnie Van Zandt, who was the soul of the band. And, you know, the singer-songwriter, who was responsible for really having his name implanted on just about every song that was written, because he was writing all the lyrics and providing the melody and everything. And more or less, that was it. The band did manage to, you know, continue on for some extent, but it was a different thing altogether. Right? I mean, he was the heart and soul of the band. As you'll see on this album, I think it makes it very plain, as I will point out, because of the songs and the lyrics. Like, this next song is called Trust. And again, it's just Ronnie pouring his heart out, exactly what he thinks. Basically, the point of the song is, don't trust anybody. I don't know. Ronnie probably trusted his mother. But beyond that, I don't think that there was a single person that he would have been able to say that he had like full faith in. Not his girlfriends, not his best friends, not his bandmates, not the law, nothing, nothing. And he goes right through that litany on this song called Trust.
Bye.
Christmas's band. I don't play this album that much, and every time I do, I'm like always surprised at how much I like every song on it, even though none of them are hits. The next track up is the only song that is, it's just a cover song. It's the only one that's not written by the band. And it's a really good, they had a thing with J.J. Cale, and I do too. So I really like J.J. Cale as a songwriter. So this is the J.J. Cale tune on this album. It's a great version of I Got the Same Old Blues.
That room is going around. My baby's got a man, Lord, way across town. It's the same old story. Tell me where we're living. Yes, I heard the news. It's the same old blues again. Well, I wrote you a letter. Must have read it wrong. Stood at the doorway, baby, you was gone. It took a lot of courage. You let the telephone ring. I got the same old blues in me. Well, you gave me the business. You know I didn't mind. Cause I got a lot of fish. Lord, I got a lot. It's the same old story. Tell me where it is.
You're listening to WHPC, WHPC HD, Garden City. And right now you happen to be listening to American Hit Radio. And the show is just exactly that. I'm Tom Ryan, your host, and we're playing the album Give Me Back My Bullets. Not one of the most well-known or necessarily well-regarded albums by Lynyrd Skynyrd, but I'm defending it with All That I Got, because I think this is a great record. I think it's one of their best. I'm going to flip it over. I literally have got the vinyl here with me right now. I got the 12-inch album. I was in 12th grade when I bought this thing. I said, maybe that's why I love it so much. It was like at the key point of my life. But this next track, Double Trouble, is, again, a great song, great band arrangement. It's fantastic. And again, with the lyrics, it was written, the music is by Alan Collins, but it was inspired by a conversation that Ronnie Wood was having with Gary, the long-haired guitar player with the black hair. They had been arrested for one reason together. And Gary said to Ronnie, like, man, how many times have you been arrested? And Ronnie says, this is number 11. Like, what? It's like 11 times? It's like, yeah, man. So Gary just, man, you're in double trouble. So it stuck. And Alan Collins got a song out of it. And I said earlier that maybe the one person that Ronnie could have trusted on the song Trust was maybe he trusted his mama. Well, maybe not, because on this song he said that even his mother called him bad news. So there you have it. Here's Double Trouble.
Eleven times I've been busted, 11 times I've been to jail. Some of the times I've been there, nobody could have broke my bail. Well, it seems to me, Lord, that this old boy has don't fit. Well, I jump in a rose bush,
come out smelling like
those men that's dressed in blue, never done so right by me. Some of the times I was innocent, but the judge said guilty. Well, I'm not one to throw blame, son, I'll tell you the truth.
Tell the truth, oh, tell the truth.
When the black cats cross my trail, Lord, Lord, they come and pass to
misery times two.
Double trouble, that's what my friends are calling me. Well, I was born down in a gutter with a temper hot as fire. Spent 90 days on a payphone just doing the county's time. Well, now, even mama said, son, you better do
what to do.
And it won't be too long, cause someone pulls one through you.
One thing that I'm like almost filled up to my eyeballs with are songs about being on the road, you know, like 20 miles to go, or, you know, six days on the road, whatever. Any song about a band singing about being on the road, I'm like, oh God, please, there's way too many of them. And this next song is one of those songs. The only reason why I give this one a lot of credit, again, is because Ronnie is, like, incredibly honest. He actually manages to put a lot of himself into it, so it doesn't sound quite as generic. It actually comes off as, like, his honest feelings about how much he hates being on a bus. but also why he does it. because, and he admits it, because he does it because he's making money and he's happy to be making money. It's called Roll Gypsy Roll.
Riding on a Greyhound, counting those white lines. Destination I don't know, and I'm feeling like I'm dying. For 10 years on this road, might have two stole. But the man with the plan says the band's got to go. I said, roll, gypsy, roll. Lord, just pick up your bags and go. Met many a woman.
I think it's a one step above the average on, you know, being on the road sort of a tune called Roll Gypsy Roll. Another one, basically, I want to speak for itself. It's a simple tune in terms of a theme. It's called Searching.
Find my love.
much about that. That is like classic Lynyrd Skynyrd in the way that the two guitar players weave between each other, and then they come together to harmonize at the end. It's like what's sort of like one of the brilliant things about the band that they were great at. Now, the next track is called Cry for the Bad Man, and it brings up a point that I wonder if anybody else would be able to answer this question in any other way than I would address it. Is there any such thing as an honest manager in music? I mean, are the Beatles the only band that ever had an honest manager? I mean, people can say anything that they want to about the Beatles manager, but I mean, the one thing about it, I mean, my God, that guy was at least an incredibly honest man. It seems like everybody else who had a manager, they were just like thieves and just this unbelievable like robbery that would go on. Now, even my own band, we had a manager, and this woman hated me. I paid her salary. I did so much to try to make things work, but man, she made my life miserable. No, I don't care if I talk about it. She hated me. I eventually hated her. You know, management, man, is just, it's impossible to get somebody to work for a band and do what's right for the band, because they're way, almost always self-absorbed, and they worry about themselves more than anything. And that's exactly what this next song is about. It's about hiring a manager who becomes more obsessed with making money for himself than for the band. And Ronnie Van Zant was not happy about this, especially because he considered the guy to be a friend. It's called Cry for the Bad Man.
Supposed to be. I put my faith down in my friend, and he almost put it into me. Well, when you take my money, baby, when you hurt my family, like we're walking through the swamps without no shoes, step on a snake to stay.
For the bad man. So what do you think? Pretty good album all in all, right? Give me back my bullets. You got one song left to play, but I want to talk about it. It's pretty funny how Ronnie Van Zandt's mother came up three times in 1 hour. I don't know how that happened, but it did. We're up to 1976 chronologically, and I want to talk about that just a little bit because I think it's rather interesting. And I'm really glad that we got in a Southern rock album around this time in 1976, because this era really does represent pretty much the demise of Southern rock. The Allman Brothers were really beginning to like slide away around this point in time. In fact, they were having a lot of personal issues and would be breaking up in a short while. The Marshall Tucker Band were having issues in terms of also basically, the brothers, Tommy Caldwell eventually dying, Tilly Caldwell dying, and that would be over. Their classic era was done. Charlie Daniels Band began to fade. It was just not a good time. It was pretty much the end of the Southern rock era around this point in time. And they even, by the way, there was like this camaraderie between all the Southern rock bands. Like on this album, on the back cover of Give Me Back My Bullets, there's this note. It says, "On behalf of Lynyrd Skynyrd, let me acknowledge our kinship to the likes of the Marshall Tucker and Charlie Daniels bands." I mean, there really was a kinship between everybody, the Southern rock bands like that. The other thing that was going on, though, besides the demise of Southern rock, was that, yacht rock had been reaching its peak around 1976, and I was sort of like touched on that last week with the Boz Scaggs album that we played. And another thing that was happening in 1976 was the slow birth of punk was happening. That was beginning to bubble up, and there was also a huge like dash of nostalgia was going on. Like a lot of people like going back to like what was happening like with Elvis and Carl Perkins and stuff that was happening in the 50s. So all of this was like a big mashup, and we're going to be really just seeing how much of a mess it was in 1976 as we move through this year with albums, because there's a lot of different styles and different things that are going on. When we were doing this whole thing chronologically from 1955 right on up to 1975, it really felt almost like it was a smooth transition. You could feel the styles changing as, rock and roll moved into like the Beatles era, and then the San Francisco era, and then, the psychedelic thing, and then the more sophisticated rock and roll and all that stuff. But now in 1976, that explodes. It just changes drastically. So that's where we're going to be going as we move forward. I just figured I'd give you a word of that. All right, we got one song to wrap up the album. And again, it's Ronnie throwing his hands up. One thing that Southern rockers love to talk about was the environment. and how much more beautiful it was in the South, and how they didn't like New York City and all that cement and skyscrapers and such. But they were seeing how the South was also getting built up and changed. So Ronnie wrote the song about how he didn't like it. It's called All I Can Do Is Write About It. Take care, folks. See you next Wednesday. Unless you can join us on Friday at 5. Jimi Hendrix. Maybe you can see you then. Bye-bye.
Well, this life that I live has took me everywhere. There ain't no place I ain't never gone. But it's kind of like the saying that you heard so many times. Well, there just ain't no place like home. Did you ever see a she-gator protect her young ones, or fish in a river swimming free? Did you ever see the beauty of the hills of Carolina, or the sweetness of the grass in Tennessee? And Lord, I can't make any changes. All I can do is write them in a song. Yes, but I can see the concrete slowly creeping. Lord, take me in mind before that comes.
Thanks again.